Okay. Yeah, Penny doesn't make 1 week and the whole program falls apart. Yeah, well, he'll have to know. The food, we didn't know where all the food utensils were. Okay, fine. So in this season, we've been learning through the Kolam of Hilchos Shabbos. And right before Pesach, we were working on our last principle of the season, which was the principle of Grama. And then we had some distractions. So Mitzvah now, we're going to finish up the principle of Grama, which will take 2 or 3 weeks or so. And then, And then that'll be it for the season. Okay, fine. So since it's been quite some time and we don't really even expect people to remember things from 1 week to the next week, I don't know if someone's trying to confuse me, but there are 2 Eitan Razis in the Zoom. So it's like, you know, trying to throw me off here, but in a good way. I'm just joking. I'm trying to make a joke. It's late at night. I remember like the first week, you know, Rabbi Sachs has a phenomenal memory. My cousin and I have the same name, Chanuk Schreier. So you can imagine like the first day Rabbi Sachs is in yeshiva and one person comes up to him, introduces himself, Chanuk Schreier. And then 5 seconds later, someone else comes up to him and says, Chanuk Schreier. And he's like, So anyways, okay, fine. So since we don't expect people to remember things even from week to week, Kolshkein from like 2 months ago. So let's just quickly recap, reintroduce the principle of Grama, and then we'll get to the new material. So it begins with the Mishnah and Shabbos on Kuvchav Amid Aleph. The Mishnah on Kuvchav Amid Aleph brings up a situation where there's a fire that's spreading, and obviously it's not a case of Pikuach Nefashos. If it's Pikuach Nefashos, then you do what it takes to put the fire out. But we're discussing a case where it's not Pikuach Nefashos, and there's time for some creativity to figure out a more appropriate method to put out the fire. And the question becomes, can you take a group of barrels filled with water and surround the fire with the barrels such that when the fire gets the barrels, it's going to break open the barrels, the water is going to unload onto the fire and put out the fire. That's the shaila that the Mishnah raises. So the Gemara brings the Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Shimon ben Anas versus Rabbi Yossi. Sorry, the Mishnah. The Mishnah brings the Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Shimon ben Anas versus Rabbi Yossi, starting with Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, who's also interchanged with the Chachamim. The Gemara calls it the Shitas Chachamim. So the Chachamim maintain that this is permissible. This is a perfectly fine procedure for how to put out a fire. Whereas Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi says that this is going to be prohibited. What's the machlokas? What's the point of contention? So the Gemara there in Shabbos and Kuvchav from a base has a few different stages for how to analyze this machlokas. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that on a deraisa level, this really is perfectly permissible. Everyone agrees that min haTorah, this is perfectly fine, because although you are technically doing the malacha of mechabeh, that's one of our lamitas malachas, is putting out a fire, and in this case, you're extinguishing the fire, but this is being done in a manner of grama. You're not directly putting out the fire. You're not walking up to the fire and pouring water onto it. You're indirectly bringing about the extinction of the fire by putting barrels around it, where the fire goes to the barrels, then they break open and unload the water. Since it's indirect, therefore, this is subject to the principle of grama, and there's a special gzeiras hakasav that a grama is putzer on Shabbos. You're only chayav on Shabbos for doing a malacha in a direct manner, a direct activity. Grama is putter, or for now it's mutter. The gzeiras hakasav is lo sasa chol malacha. Don't do an asiya, a direct activity, implying that grama is shari, grama is permissible. So therefore, says the Gemara, everyone agrees min haTorah, this is mutter. The question is, did we make a gzeira derabanan? The Chachamim contend that we did not prohibit this midirabanan, that just like it's mutter min haTorah, it's mutter midirabanan, and therefore it's perfectly fine to do this whole procedure with the barrels. Whereas the Rabbi Yossi shita is that this is going to be aser midirabanan. Says Rabbi Yossi, adam bahol al mamono, meaning that when a person's property is at stake, a person begins to panic, he loses his composure, and a person's privy to doing any type of aver on the books. And so Chazal were concerned, if we let you start playing games with the fire, a person may quickly just walk up to the fire and put it out directly, do a real malacha deraisa. And so Chazal just said, back off, we're not even going to let you play the game with the barrels around the fire. So that's the machlokas tanaim here about putting the barrels around the fire. And what we see from here, this is the original case where we learn the principle of Brahma, that on Shabbos is perfectly mutter, at least in the Torah for now, to do any malacha, not just the malacha of Mechaba, but any malacha is mutter in the Torah if you do it in an indirect manner. Like in this case, just as a machlokes tanoim, did we make an issur derabanan in this specific case with the fire, because we're concerned the person's going to panic and come to do an issur deraisa. So that's the sugya in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf. Now, we paskin like the Chachamim, which means that in this type of situation, it should never occur, but in this type of situation, so it would be mutter to do this procedure with the barrels to put out the fire. Now, last time, in our first and only shir we had on Grama, so we raised the issue of, you know, how far is the Shitas Chachamim go? Is it really absolutely mutter to do Grama? Or perhaps even the Chachamim would agree that sometimes there's going to be an Issur Derabanan to do Grama. And it came out last time that we had a Machlokas Rishonim between Rabbeinu Yoel versus the Rush, two basic Shitos on the Rabbanan realm of Grama. So just the bottom line, the Shitas from last time, the Rabbeinu Yoel Shita is that mid Derabanan, actually, typically speaking, Grama is going to be Aser. That yes, it's Motzer Min HaTorah. Generally speaking, it's Aser Derabanan, except in a situation of Hezek. If there's damage, if there's loss that's going to take place, Chazal lifted the Derabanan. But other than that, it's going to be Aser Midirabanan. So if you go back to the case with the barrels, where the fire is spreading, and you're putting that around the barrels with water around the fire, so that was mutter, according to the Chachamim, because that's a case of Hezek. The fire is going to cause damage, it's going to cause a loss. In that case, they lifted the Derabanan, and it was perfectly fine. But in a typical case where there's no Hefzik taking place, then it would be Aser Derabanan. That's the Shita of the Rabbeinu Yoel. Whereas, according to the Rush, so Achronim learn, many Achronim learn in the Rush, that the Rush holds that this is perfectly mutter, not only in a Torah, but even midirabana. So that's just a synopsis from last time. We had a machlokas Rishonim, whether Grama is, according to the Shitas Chachamim, we paskin like, so it's definitely mutter in a Torah, what's the exact Shita midirabanan? Ben Yoel says it's Asher derabanan, except the Malkum Hefzit, and the Rush holds that it's perfectly mutter, even midirabanan. Who? Why does the Rush hold that it's mutter midirabanan? So, we actually discussed this shtickle last time, but the truth of the matter is off the cuff, he just felt, you know, no need to make a gezerah. It's a, you know, it's mutter min haTorah, and generally speaking, you know, chazal make Yisrim derabanan under necessary circumstances. Apparently, the Rush held that this is not comparable to malacha. That's how we explained the last time, that the Rush held, apparently, that doing malacha de grama doesn't bear resemblance to typical malacha performance, and therefore chazal didn't feel a need to set down an issur derabanan. Okay. Fine. So that was the synopsis from last time. And now we transition to the next part of the sugya, which is really the last part of the sugya. And that is the question of, so how do we define grama? What is considered to be direct activity? Or what's considered to be indirect activity? And as you can understand, a lot of the major shilas that come up in major situations like in hospitals and all that stuff depends on the fundamental principles. So for today, we're going to be focusing more on the fundamental principles. But in the course of the next week or so, as we finish up the sugya, we go through it, we'll see how the principles play out in interesting practical shailas that come up in the postkin. So that's the agenda for the, you know, this part of the sugya now. What's called asiya, what's called grama. Fine. So we begin with there are going to be two parts to this discussion. There's going to be one part which is going to be probably tonight and one more session, and then one more final part. There are going to be two components to addressing the shaila of distinguishing between direct activity and indirect activity. So right now we're doing one part of this sugya, and then probably in a week or so, we'll get to the next part of this sugya. Okay. So our first part of trying to pin down the difference between direct activity and indirect activity is going to begin with the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Bava Kamma on Samach Amud Aleph begins discussing the parsha of Nezikin. So, you cause damage to somebody else, you have to pay for the damage. Now, the Gemara brings up the following situation. Let's say a person has a coal, a burning coal, and he decides to blow on the coal to produce a fire that's going to cause damage. But he doesn't blow hard enough to actually produce the fire. But as he blows, so the wind comes along, gives him an assist, and in conjunction with the wind, he produces a flame that goes out and causes damage. So it's called libo v'libsa haruach. He fans the flame in conjunction with the wind, Says the Gemara, he's potter, that you're potter for causing damage in conjunction with the wind. Why are you potter? You cause damage. So the Gemara assumes definitely in the Havamina and possibly in the Maskana that this is because this is considered to be a grama. That the halacha is that not only is grama potter on Shabbos, grama is potter by Nezikin as well. When you cause damage, so if you do it directly, you have to pay. If you cause damage indirectly, so it's asher to do, and between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should pay up. But down here, we say it's potter b'dinei adam, that the earthly courts cannot be mechayev you for causing damage in an indirect manner. So the Gemara assumes that when you perform this act in conjunction with the wind, that's called the grama, because you're not directly sending out the fire. You're, you know, starting the process, but then the wind comes along and finishes it off. That's considered to be a grama, and therefore it's going to be patur. That is the Gemara's assessment of this situation of libo v'libso haruach. Yeah, so there's a ruach matsuya, let's say. Okay, good question. So the question is being asked, what exactly is the role of the wind in this situation? So it's, I don't know the exact mitzvahs, but it seems to be that when you have a coal, there's not yet a fire, but when you blow on the coal, then it produces a fire. So the person gives, you know, like the first house, the three little pigs, not the third house. He doesn't do quite strong enough to blow it down, or the third house, but whatever it was. He doesn't blow strong enough to blow it down. But then the wind comes along and helps knock down that brick house, helps produce the fire. So just to clarify the mitzvahs, all the confusion from my jokes here, that when you have a coal and you blow on it, so apparently it produces a fire. So he blew on the coal, but he didn't blow strong enough. And then the wind, he's holding a coal. I guess with gloves. So yeah, he has a burning coal in front of him on a
fire.
Yeah, I don't know the exact mistakes. We'll have to.
It's on the wall of the house.
Okay.
Wherever it is.
Okay, so we're going to have to do an experiment in the third floor. It's the science laboratory here. So, Mirtz Hashem, it's summer's month now, but next year we're going to make this the 101, right? We use the secular, we tried to infuse Kedush, the secular department here. So, we're going to tell Shinar to please do an experiment how you produce fire from a coal. But until then, okay, fine. So, Yona and Avram are having a nice debate over this issue. Okay. Fine. Discussion. Friendly discussion. Okay, fine. So, that's the Gemara in. Sorry, Dov. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Fine. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara raises the following issue. Gemara says, are you telling me that acting in conjunction with the wind is called a grama, and that's why you're patur by Nezikin? Well, says the Gemara, I can disprove you from Hilcha Shabbos, because we know in Hilcha Shabbos that grama is patur. Yet I can prove to you that acting in conjunction with the wind is chayav on Shabbos. How do I know that acting in conjunction with the wind is chayav on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Melechet Zorah. One of our Lam Tes Melachos is the Melacha of winnowing. The way it works is you thresh some grain and you separate the kernels from the chaff. We're trying to produce some flour. We take our wheat stalks and we trample it to separate the kernels from the chaff. And we want the kernels, we don't want the chaff. So we take a big shovel and we throw it into the air and the wind comes along, blows away the light chaff. The chaff blows away, that's what we don't want. The heavy kernels, which is what we do want, falls back to the ground. That's the process of winnowing. Now, this is one of our Lama Tes Malachos. And how is it working? As we just described, in conjunction with the wind. The wind is carrying out the malacha, the separation of the ochla from the psolas, the chaff from the kernels, is done by the wind, and it's an upstanding malacha. So says the Gemara, we see that acting with the wind is called asiya, direct activity. It's not called grama. So how come by nezikin it's pater? Why are you telling me that blowing with the wind is going to be potter? And we can prove to you that it's chayiv, it's called direct activity from Hilcha Shabbos. That's the kasha of the Gemara. So, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Dov just said exactly what the Rashi is about to say, I believe. So let me speak it out. Okay, so the Gemara gives a few answers to this question, and we're going to focus on the last answer of the Gemara. The Gemara's final and most famous answer to this question is to make the following distinction. Says the Gemara, it brings Rav Ashi, who says like this, that you're right. In principle, acting in conjunction with the wind is considered to be a grama, and in principle, it's not called direct activity. That's why in Hilchos Nezikin, in the Parsha of Nezek, when you fan this flame in conjunction with the wind, however exactly it takes place, you're going to be putter. If you pull it off, you're going to be putter because it's called a grama. What about by Hilcha Shabbos then? Why are you chayiv for Melechah Zorah? We know grama is putter on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, a cryptic statement, Melechah Machshavos, that Shabbos has different standards. Shabbos is governed by the rule of Melechah Machshavos, and therefore on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv for Melechah Zorah. So those are the words of the answer to the Gemara, that although, yes, this kind of is a grama, that's why by Nezikin you're putter, but for Melechah Zorah, when you act with the wind, you're chayiv because of Melechah Machshavos. So those are the words of the Gemara, and the question is, how exactly is the Gemara answering the question? If at the end of the day, this is called a grama, when I act with the wind and the wind does, you know, the end of the job, that's called a grama, why am I chayiv for Melechah Zorah? L'maisa, Melechah Zorah is taking place in conjunction with the wind. We know that I'm putter for grama on Shabbos. Why am I chayiv for Zorah when this is considered to be a grama? That's the question that has to be addressed. Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of a different answer. I think it might be similar, but you might possibly say that in the case of winnowing, the wind, ultimately, yeah, you're throwing it up, but what's separating the chaff is the wind. The wind is doing that. You're just putting it into the wind, so to speak. But by the coal, in that case, you and the wind are sort of, you're doing the same act, and the force combined is sort of.
So therefore, Shabbos is better or worse? Zorah, I'm higher for Zorah.
Right. So, right.
Right. So you got to be careful. Okay, fine. Okay, so the two approaches in the Rishonim for how to answer this question, what is the exact answer? The Gemara, why am I chayav for Melechah Zorah when I'm doing it in conjunction with the wind? We have the Shita of the Rush, the Shita of Rabbi Chananel. Two basic approaches in the Rishonim. So, you have a question? Fine. Starting with the Shita of the Rush. So the Rush says what Dov said, or Dov said what the Rush said. And that is like this, that you're right. Really, in principle, acting with the wind, even on Shabbos, is called a grama. You didn't do it yourself. The wind came along and finished it off. It really should be putter. But, says the Rush, Melechah Zorah is an exception to the rule. Because the whole Melechah, by its very nature, is done with the wind. And so if we would be makbid that Melechah Zorah conform with the rules of grama, then we would never be able to learn out as Melechah. Because the whole Melechah is done in conjunction with the wind. So if we pointed to this Melechah and said, you got to conform to the rules of Hilchos Grama, you better not take place in conjunction with the wind, it wouldn't be a Melechah. Says the Rush that is not considered to be tenable. Apparently we know that Melechah Zorah could be learned out, that it's able to be derived as Melechah. And so by definition, Melechah Zorah is chayiv al yedei grama. So what the Rush is saying is that basically Zorah is an exception to the rule. You're right. In principle, doing a Melechah with the wind would be pater. This is called the grama. Zorah is an exception to the rule because the whole Melechah is done al yedei grama. That's how you do the Melechah, with the wind. If we would be makbid that this Melechah conformed to the regular rules, it never would have been a Melechah. And apparently we know it's a Melechah. So therefore, it's just an exception to the rule. That's how the Rush explains the conclusion of the Gemara. And that's what Dov was saying, I believe. Now it is.
Okay, sort of the opposite of what I was saying.
Yeah.
You could say that by the case of winnowing, when you're a necessary component to doing this Melechah, without you throwing it up into the wind, it never would happen. But by the case of the coal, the wind itself might have actually done.
Okay, so Yonah is making a very good point, but the Gemara itself actually brings up Yonah's point, and it establishes the case of the thing where the wind could not have done it by itself. Right. So the case in Bava Kamma, the wind would not have been able to fan the flame without the assist from the person himself. Mayor.
So the Rush is explaining the Gemara, no?
Yeah, so the Rush is explaining the Gemara in Bava Kamma, correct.
But how does that fit in with the words of Melechah Machshavos?
Every once in a while, I try to pull a fast one, and I can always count on Mayor to catch me on these things. Okay, so Mayor Spector is asking, how does the Rush's explanation fit with the answer of the Gemara? So now that he called me out on this, so we'll turn it to the floor here. The Gemara's, the words of the Gemara were, you know why you're chayav for Zorah, even though it looks like a grama? Melechah Machshavos. So Mayor is asking, how do the words Melechah Machshavos have anything to do with the Rush's explanation? He's just saying, it's a principle. Melechah Machshavos is a principle that on Shabbos we're makbid on productivity, we're makbid on professionalism, craftsmanship. How does that have anything to do with what the Rush is saying? That's the question that Meir is asking.
So, the first, though, if it gives it a hold, and I guess if it actually went into a place where there was an actual wind that actually put on its own blood and flow, wouldn't that be a solution left for Shabbos?
By Shabbos or by Nezek? By Nezek. If you brought into a place where it's a wind?
It's the wind to do it. Same way, when you do it with this array, you want the Zoro's array, you want the wind as much as left for Shabbos to blow it for you.
So therefore what?
So therefore, would the case of the cold which retired that case?
Are you trying to answer his question? Are you trying to answer his question? I believe Dov is saying what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, I believe Dov just said what Rashi says over, but I don't think it's comparable to the Rush. Just read the question with the Rush. The question is, what does Melech Machsheva have to do with Zora being an exception to the rule? So that's the question of Meir. Meir, you want to try to give an answer?
Not right now. I don't know anything.
Bye, bye, bye. Okay, his screen's off. So, yeah, it's on.
Isn't it the same thing as it's like almost like a davar shenam is chavein, but here you have kavana.
So okay, so that's what Dov. Okay, Ethan just said exactly what Dov just said, and that if you look at Rashi, Bava Kama, Dav Sam, he says exactly what Ethan and Dov just said. But the Rush doesn't express it that way. That's why I don't think it's going to help us with the Rush, but it's a beautiful Nikud that you're making.
Right, but I'm saying, so like Melech HaShmachshevet, it is that's the way it's done. That's the Melech HaShmachshevet is that the way that winnowing is done to separate it is through a groma. So
I think that's why it's an exception to the rule. That's why.
How do you define,
so we have a little bit of flexibility. Okay, so we have some flexibility. Eitan and Dov are both saying the way Rashi says it. So I'll tell you the way I understood it, just because I was asked. The way I understand it is as follows, that everyone understands the question. The question is, why does Melech HaShmachshevet have anything to do with Zora being exception to the rule? So I assume the point is as follows, that Melech HaShmachshevet teaches us that the Melechas of Shabbos are product-oriented. We don't care so much about the specific act in a certain sense. We care more about the result, the productivity Shabbat. That's a general concept that we find when you learn Hilcha Shabbos. So we'll find certain situations where, let's say, there's a halacha called chatochos, if you write in an indirect manner. So in Kol Tarakula, it's not called ksiva, if you write in an indirect manner. But on Shabbos, says the Ran, that if you write in an indirect manner, you're chayiv, because of malachas mach Shabbos. We just care about the result. We're more product-oriented. If you do something productive, then you're chayiv. So I assume what the Rush is telling us is that since the essence of the malacha is a productive effect, the productivity Shabbos, and it's true there's a certain format, but the format's more of a technicality. The ikar is a productivity. So when it comes to Melech HaZora, Zora is very productive. The result of separating the olcha from the psola, separating the chaff from the kernels, is productive. And so therefore, it has the essential characteristic of being a melech. It's true, it's done de grama, doesn't have the right format, the right activity. But since it has the essential quality of being a melech, we learn it out as a melech. So I assume the Lashon Melech HaShmachshevet is telling us that when it comes to Melech HaZora, yes, it doesn't have the activity of direct activity. You're supposed to have a direct activity, but that's a technicality. That really so does the result. Is there a productive effect? Yes, there's a productive effect. It has the essential quality of what it means to the Melech, and therefore we can learn it out. So it's a complicated answer, but it's Meir's fault for asking a complicated question. okay, fine. So that was all Shita number one, the Shita of the Rush. Moving over to Shita number two, the Shita of the Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel gives a very different approach to how to understand the Gemara in Bava Kama. And as I said, down the road, we'll see a number of halacha l'maaseh applications of this machlokas, but we have to first get the principles before we're ready to get to the fun shailas. So let's first work on the Shita of Rabbeinu Hananel for a few moments here. Now, he doesn't officially tell us the Shita, but he makes a statement, which is clear that he's not going to hold like the Rush. So I'll tell you what he says. And then let's see if someone can just step in and chop the nekuda here that clearly is going to pin him against the Shitas HaRush. Mechanel is in our Gemara in Chavas and Daf Kuf Chav, but he's commenting on this Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Samach. And he makes the following statement. He says that this Gemara in Bava Kama is equating the case of winnowing with the case of fanning the coal. Therefore, says Mechanel, that on Shabbos, just like winnowing is higher for the Melech of Zora, so too, if you would fan a coal in conjunction with the wind, you'd be higher for the Melech of Mavir. Mavir is a Melech of producing a fire, make a fire on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Says Rabbi Chananel, since the Gemara compared these two cases, if I would fan a coal in conjunction with the wind, so I blow a little bit, and then the wind comes and finishes it off, and we make together, we make this wind, this fire that goes out and causes damage, I'm going to be chayiv on Shabbos. That is the statement of Rabbi Chananel. Now, can anyone just make the crucial diak to show how he's arguing on the sheet of the Rush? That's an interesting point. That's a good point. Okay, so that has to be discussed after. It's just that's sort of complicated for the Gemara. Fine. Those ask a question on the Gemara. Fair question. But can anyone see in the Ben Chananel how he's arguing in the Rush? And therefore what? So can the Rush agree to this? Maybe the Rush will agree to this. Can the Rush agree to Ben Chananel saying? Okay. I feel like you got this on your own. Okay, fine. Fine. So we make the following diak, that what was the Rush's explanation for Malacha Zor? Why is Zor a chayiv as a Malacha? Says the Rush, it's an exception to the rule. Really, if you do a Malacha in conjunction with the wind, that's a called a grama. If you do any of the other 38 Malachas, let's say, in conjunction with the wind, according to the Rush, that's a grama. Zor was an exception to the rule. The only reason why Zor is chayiv is because it's an exception to the rule. So if I would ask the Rush, if I chayiv for Malachas Mavir, a different Malacha, if I create a fire in conjunction with the wind, the Rush would say that you're putter. If I fan a coal in conjunction with the wind and do Malachas Mavir, I'm going to be putter because that's a grama. The only reason I'm chayiv for Zora is because Zora was an exception to the rule, because otherwise it never would be a Malacha. Since Zora in its original form is done with the wind, if I would be makbid that Malachas Zora conformed to the rules of grama, well, then Zora never would have been a Malacha in the first place. So, okay, it's an exception to the rule. We just passed the card that you can get out. You don't have to wear a mask, you know, but we're still going to be Makbid on the rules. But for all the other Malachos, by Malachas Mavir, let's say, Malachas Mavir doesn't have to be done all day, grama. You just strike a match and you created a fire. You rub some sticks together. You made a fire. It doesn't have to be done all day, grama. So if you do it in a manner of grama, you do it with the wind, that's not, we are going to be Makbid according to the Rush. That's going to be Potter. So this statement, Rabbeinu Chananel, if he's telling me that you are chayiv for fanning this coal in conjunction with the wind, he's clearly arguing on the Rush. He must have a different interpretation of this Gemara. So we just made a diak that Rabbeinu Chananel is arguing on the Rush, because he's saying that if you create a fire in conjunction with the wind, you're chayiv, but the Rush would not agree to that. The Rush would say that's a grama, that's indirect, you're working with the wind. Zora was an exception to the rule. So we're just making a diak now that Rabbeinu Chananel argues on the Rush. What then is the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel? We give paupers for a reason, because this isn't like your typical Daf Yomi shir. You know what I'm saying? You gotta think. So what then is the nothing against Daf Yomi? It's amazing. Yeah, Ranzer is the best. But what then is the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel? So Rabbeinu Chananel apparently is having a different shot in the Maskana to Gemara. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gemara is expanding the notion of Asiya, that although in other areas of halacha, by Nezikin, there are certain limited definitions to what's called direct activity. Acting with the wind is called indirect. But in Hilcha Shabbos, we have a broader concept of direct activity. Malachas Machshavas teaches us, as long as you bring about a productive result, you're going to be called doing direct activity. And so even acting in conjunction with the wind is called direct activity. It's not called a grama, it's called direct activity. At the end of the day, you set up a circumstance where the malacha is destined to take place, that's called direct activity. I threw up this pile into the air, and the malacha is destined to take place. The wind's going to come along and carry out the process and separate it. That's called asiya. That's direct activity. That's going to be chayiv. And so even by another malacha, if I do a malacha in conjunction with the wind, that's called direct activity, I'm going to be chayiv. I have a coal, and I fan the coal, and the wind comes along, and together we produce this fire once again. As long as you set up a situation where the malacha is destined to take place, that's called direct activity. It's not called a grama. So we still have more work to do, but just to, you know, start out with the first basic shot we're giving the Rabbeinu Chananel. Chananel is apparently holding that the Gemara here is expanding the notion of what it means to be called direct activity. That according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, when you do malach in conjunction with the wind, since you're setting up a situation where the malach is destined to take place, the wind's going to come along and do the separation. That's called asiya on Hilchos Shabbos. And so even by malach es maver, the same thing, doing a malach with the wind is called asiya. It's going to be chayiv. Now, the last step becomes then, so we have to go back to the original case of Grumma where you are putter and ask yourselves, so why are you putter in the original case of Grumma? What was the original case of Grumma? I have the fire spreading. I surround the fire with these barrels of water, and the fire gets the barrel, and the water gets unloaded, and I'm putter. Well, let's ask ourselves, in that situation, why is that different than the case with the wind? Just like Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that when I do malach in conjunction with the wind, I'm chayiv, that's called direct activity, because I set up a situation where the malach is destined to take place. Well, say the same thing here. Listen, I set up a situation where the malach is destined to take place. The, you know, nature is going to run its course, the fire is going to spread, the water is going to get unloaded, and it's going to go out. So how come I'm putter in the original case of Grumma, if the Rabbeinu Chananel is now having this broad notion of direct activity, as long as you set up a malacha that's going to destined to take place, it's called asiya. So why am I putter in the original case of Grumma? That's just the last question to finish off the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. Yeah. Okay. 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 So Mordechai just said a super lamdish svara, which I believe is a very beautiful svara. Parnas once said the same thing, but there are variations in the sugya. So right now, Rabbeinu Chananel himself gives a different shot, but Mordechai just said a very nice svara. Just for the sake of complexity here, I'm just going to leave it for afterwards. But it's a very nice point. But Rabbeinu Chananel, yeah, Eitan.
According to the Rosh, how does he learn the Gemara? What is the din with the Gemara and the coals?
On Shabbos or on Benazikin?
The coal.
On Shabbos, if I send it out, I'm saying on Shabbos, if I fan the coal?
Right.
You'd be putter.
With the wind.
According to the Rosh, if I fanned a coal with the, you know, with the wind, I would be putter. That's Grumma.
So according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you're chayev. Wait, but what is the din in the Gemara, though?
The Gemara is talking about Nezikin. By damages, you're putter.
Okay, got it.
But on Shabbos, they never discussed it.
Right.
Yeah, good. So, the Rabbeinu Chananel himself addresses this issue on Daf Mem Zayin, and he makes a variant distinction between two cases. He says like this, that in the case with the barrels, when I set up the barrels, and then the fire, you know, knocks down the barrel, and the water puts it out, he says that there's a hefsik between my activity and the fire being put out. Because when I put the barrels down, similar to Mordechai said, but a little bit different emphasis, I put the barrel down. So the way he says it is that the fire first has to operate on the barrel itself, on the body of the barrel. It has to first, you know, spend some moments there, put, you know, breaking through the barrel before the water gets unloaded. So there's an interruption between the act of the person and the carrying out of the malacha. My activity is putting down the barrel. The malacha is eventually the malacha of kibbuy, of extinguishing the fire. In between the two, between my act and the kibbuy, in the interim, the fire has to first come to the barrel and work on the barrel for a few moments before it finally breaks through the barrel and the water gets unloaded. He considers that to be a hefsek. There's an interruption between the two. And so therefore, that's going to be subject to the principle of Grumma. It could be what you meant. It might be what Mordechai meant. I'm not sure exactly. Just that's the way the Rosh the Rabbeinu Chananel expresses it, which is in contrast to the case of winnowing, let's say, where it's seamless. I just throw into the air, and the wind comes along and finishes it off. There's no interruption. It's just a continuous process. That's called direct activity. By fanning the flame, I blow, the wind comes along. It's a seamless process. That's called direct activity, which is in contrast, once again, to the case with the original case of Grumma, where there's a hefsek between my activity and the carrying out of the malacha. So with that, we've finished the basic principles of this part of the sugya. So let's just chaz the principles, and we'll just go through one quick shayla, and then Ritzajan next session, and we'll go through more, a lot of nafkaminas and shayla applications of this, these original principles. Yeah. You're asking. You're asking by Nezikin what would happen if I make a fire and then the wind comes along?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a very complicated. So get the Gemara on Bava Kamma and Daf Chav Beis devotes a whole blot and a half to Avram's question. So they pull off fast Daf Yomi Shirim, but I can't go that fast. So it's a very good question. Fine. Okay, so just to quickly summarize the principles, the basic principles we're learning tonight, we're trying to figure out what's called direct activity, what's called indirect activity. So the bottom line is the Gemara Bava Kama taught us that although working with the wind by Hilchas Nazikin is called indirect, but in Hilchas Shabbos, Melech HaZorah is Chayiv. Although I'm doing winnowing with the wind, I'm Chayiv. And the question became, why am I Chayiv? How is this getting around the rule of Hilchas Grama? So we have two basic approaches. The Rush accepts the question. He says, you're right. Working with the wind is really a Grama. I don't hold to this whole idea of setting a Melech in motion where it's destined to take place and it's called direct activity. If you didn't physically do it yourself, that's called a Grama. Why then am I Chayiv from Melech HaZorah? It's an exception to the rule. Since the whole Melech wouldn't have gotten off the ground if we were makbid on grama, because the whole malacha is done with the wind, it's just an exception to the rule. But really, for all the other malachos, this would be called the grama. That was the shita of the Rush. Whereas Rabbi Chananel, we made a diak that he argues in the Rush, because he spells out that if you do another malacha with the wind, that's going to be chayiv. He says by malachas mavir, if you light a fire with the wind, you're chayiv. The Rush wouldn't have accepted that idea. So we see Rabbi Chananel has a different understanding of the Gemara, that actually is a new broad concept of asiyah by Hilchos Shabbos. When you do a malacha in conjunction with the wind, any natural process, that's called direct activity. If you set up a scenario where the malacha is destined to take place, that's called direct activity as long as there's no hefsek. As long as there's no interruption between your activity and the carrying out of the malacha, that's called direct activity, which is going to be chayiv on Shabbos. So those are the two basic shitos. Those are the two principles. And let's just, we have a few minutes left. Let's quickly plug into one. Shiloh comes up in the post game just to see how it starts to play out halacha l'maisa. Okay, so one quick shaila that is discussed by a lot of poskim is the following question. We're going to the summer now. So let's say we have bugs that are flying around in a room on Shabbos and it's getting quite annoying. So the poskim want to know, is it permissible to spray bug spray into the air on Shabbos? What's the halacha with spraying bug spray into the air on Shabbos to repel these bugs? That's the question that's discussed by the post. Yeah. Dov was asking exactly. See, so let's develop this together. So for spraying bug spray into the air on Shabbos. Now, obviously, as Dov pointed out, if you walk over to a bug and spray it, that's clearly going to be a problem. That is the malacha of Netzilas Neshama. If you kill a creature on Shabbos, that is one of Olam Tes malachos. And if you walk over to your bug and you spray your friendly bug and you just kill them, so that is obviously going to be not recommended on Shabbos at least and during the week. Yeah, so we're discussing some kind of chemical that would kill the animals. So let's that's going to kill the creature. Yeah, so can you spray bug repellent? Now, as we're pointing out right now, you cannot walk over to a bug and spray the bug and kill it. That would certainly be prohibited. Okay, right, exactly. So the question becomes though, what if you don't walk over to the bug and spray it? You're just spraying it into the air, and then the bugs are gonna, they're not so smart, they fly into the spray and they die. Is that permissible? Right. So, Ravadia has a tshuva on this shaila. Ravadia was asked this question. There was a base knesset that had a bug issue. They wanted to know, can they spray this bug spray into the air and let the bugs, unknowingly fly into the spray and die? Would that be permissible? So, Ravadia says that it is totally on our two approaches, between the Rush and the Benachmanel. He doesn't quote the Rush and Benachmanel. He's going to quote poskim we're going to have next week because we're going to see more nafkaminas that are connected to the Rush Benachmanel, but I'm just streamlining it and he connects it to our two shitos in Grama. So let's just plug in the two shitos quickly. In this situation, so he says like this, you're setting up a situation where the malacha is destined to take place. The buggers are going to fly around. They're going to inevitably fly into the spray and die. I'm setting up a circumstance where the natural cause of events is going to be that the bugs are going to die indirectly. Now, according to the Rush, says Rav Avadia, that's called a grama. You're not directly doing it yourself. You're setting up a circumstance where it's going to take place. That's called a grama, where there's a basis to be makel. Whereas, says Rav Avadia, according to Rabbi Nechananel's shita was, as long as you set up a case where the malacha is destined to take place, there's no hefsek, it's just going to carry out in the seamless sequence of events, that's called direct activity. In this case, I sprayed into the air, the bugs fly into the bug spray and they die. It's a seamless natural sequence. That would be called direct activity, which would be usher. So as I say, he doesn't quote them by name, but he quotes poskim that are poskim based on them. And so says Rav Avadia, this would depend on the Rush versus Rabbi Chananel. And he poskims that it's kedai to be machmir on the shaila. He poskims at the end of the tshuva that kedai to be machmer on the shayla. But he says like this, that if you open a window in the room before you spray it, so then it's permissible, because then they have the opportunity to fly out of the window. We would no longer call it a psik resha. And so if you open up a window and then you spray the bug spray, not directly on the bugs, that would be permissible. I know I went a little bit quickly, but I just wanted to finish before 10 o'clock. Yeah, exactly. So he says, to open the window. And then if they're still bothering you, you spray into the air. And now they have the ability to fly away. So even if they fly into the spray, they're not so smart. We don't call it a psik resha anymore. And then it would be permissible. So this is Ravadi's analysis of this shayla. It just helps us bring down how this Gemara and Baba Kama plays out halacha l'maisa in a week-to-week shayla that comes up. We're going to stop now just for Marav, and then in Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue on next session. I'll be around for questions. Okay, Shkai, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah, that's why. Stopping at that.
Yeah, I got you.